Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye.
Hola. All right. So the song for this episode is Time to Get It Together. A very layered song instrumentally. Kind of where I want to start with this as far as the instrumentation of it goes. I think, like, as far as this song goes, it is the instrumentation of it that is just a beautiful demonstration of Marvin Gaye groove. It is definitely, though, I was going to say it's the instrumentation of it that is the significance of the song, but actually it's the message of it that's the significance of the song. It's twofold, right? This is just another level of elevation out of just focusing on the divorce that Marvin is doing. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's such an artist at heart that, sure, if having to get into the studio to start producing this project, you know, is under a guise of this is some bullshit, right? Like, for you, my fine is to pay forever. That's in When Did You Stop Loving Me, right? But that it's definitely that whole thought process that he's got is that he's basically going to just have to be paying for this for the rest of his life. Where did I read here recently? I came across some type of an article that obviously must have been linked to an image. And I have to admit, this was an interesting article. It was a 50-50 mix of shit. It had some shit. But it had some, you could tell the person had respect for Marvin Gaye. It just also was one of these things where this is what I get from things written about Marvin Gaye. It's, and it can just be from any rando person who is not as much of a Marvin Gaye fan as I am, right? So right away, my credibility of you is null. It's zero. It's void. It doesn't exist. But now I think what your credentials are is you're a writer, or you think you're a writer, right? So you're writing an article and they just will put shit into their article as if it is just established. Oh, you don't know that type of fact. You know what I mean? But it isn't something that's widely known. So it's as somebody who is obsessed with Marvin Gaye, I can read other little tidbits that people will throw into an article. And it's like, huh? What's this? What's this little bit of information that you just threw in there as if I should have been known about that? You know what I mean? And like, well, where am I if I don't know this about Marvin Gaye? And it's like, well, wait a minute. How the fuck do you know it about Marvin Gaye? You know what I mean? It's like, where did you get things from? And so here's just one other thing that recently I discovered. Upon feeling some type of responsibility to need to dive into the biography book a little deeper so that I can cite certain things a little bit more. And so I got the book in my hand and I opened it from the very, I opened the cover and I read, I was going to dive deep. So I was getting into the publication dates and just the publishing house that it first came out. You know, I was reading all of the details. And then I got into the,
I feel like that started out with like the thanks and the dedication, and I skipped past that, but then it went to, I think it was like an updated forward is what it was classified as, because the version of the book that I had, and this is something that I did come to find out as I was looking through this, I guess it was like republished in, it was originally published in 1985. Okay. Then it was republished in, let's call it 91. I feel like 91 is the date that I saw. And that's probably just a few years before I got my hands on it. So in this re-release that was coming out in 91, this author had put a new, basically like a foreword or an introduction into the book, because you were going to read that. Then when you got done reading that, the book wasn't going to actually start. Well, here's what was written that makes everything make a lot of sense to me. Okay, so when I'm reading through the Marvin Gaye collection booklet a couple episodes back, because, and please listen to that episode. Actually, let me call this out, because I'm seeing that I myself, I'm the reason for this disconnect. When I did the episode on Is That Enough, I literally did sit down in one fell swoop recording of it, right? Like I just recorded it from start to finish. And this thing was 3 hours long, which of course it's too long. Like, actually, I can see that you guys devour 2-hour-ish, like just maybe just shy of 2-hour-long episodes. You guys are here for it. You listen. I cannot get you guys to listen to my little 20-minute episode on Ain't That Peculiar. I swear, that is the lowest listened to episode in this series. It's coming in at a whopping 24 minutes. You guys do not have time for something that is not taking enough of your time when it comes to talking about Marvin Gaye. And I am living for that. So pardon me. Like, who the fuck do I think that I am to only give you guys a less than 25 minute episode when we're talking about our man? So shame on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just was, that's my third episode. I didn't know, but now I know. Okay. So we don't have many more episodes like that. I did give you, and then I did give you one other little 20 minute long episode, and I knew I had better call that like just a little bonus episode, just a little something in between episodes, a little quick thought I have, ain't enough for a whole episode. So I've got one little bonus episode. You guys have listened to that, but yeah, I cannot get you guys to listen to the Ain't That Peculiar episode. But okay, aside from that, well, and you know what? Here's another one too, that I just do want to shine some respect on the episode itself and, you know, just offer you guys some trust in me, as your content creator here. But it is the episode Flying High in the Friendly Sky. And I have named that a couple of different ways since I first released it, but it's back from June 30th of this past year. And it's sensitive topic, you know, content, but I think that just to, you know, if you are listening to several episodes by now, maybe you have not caught that one. I believe that's going to be episode 8. You can trust me that there is an absolutely no way any kind of criticizing or talking shit of Marvin Gaye. That's just, that's not a molecule in my DNA. Okay. There's no judgment. And that is exactly the reason why I put that in the name of the episode. I just had to get just that little cue that there is no judgment going on in that episode. There's no judgment of Marvin Gaye going on, period, in this series. So feel free to listen to that one. I do think that it's a very important episode. It's covering very important elements of things, and you know, it's not just always only about sugarcoat. Everything has to have a sugary taste. You know, that's not what the content of Marvin Gaye's entire life was about, right? So it is just definitely, there's some respect. There's some me, you know, given an example of how I had to stick up one time. So go ahead and take a listen to that. That one's also just a very low listened to episode, but I think, you know, it's, you're dipping a toe, you're very cautious, but you can just trust me that that's not ever what can even possibly be discussed by me when it comes to talking about Marvin Gaye. Another episode that, you know, could just use a few more listens. It's the praise episode. That's where I just dive a little bit deeper from my own personal experience into the references Marvin Gaye makes multiple times, kind of throughout interviews, and just discussing his life about Hawaii and just times that he was there and, you know, the magicalness of that place. So that one is definitely a little bit more of an autobiographical from me, episode, because I just really dive deep into some of my times there in Hawaii. Trying to offer a little comic relief there, but it's definitely tied to, a time that I was there. And at the time was definitely feeling like I was gonna barely be making it out with my life. You know, you should listen to that episode, people, and how that really very strongly gave me a personal connection to Marvin Gaye's song Praise. That song really kind of is just a standalone, not connected to the entire album yet. We will get to the entire album, but that particular song and its personal relevance in my life is definitely tied to a time that I went to Hawaii. So listen to that one. It's funny. It's just a fun episode. Okay. But now to the most recent episode that I have caused my own disconnect and my own confusion to you guys. Like I said, I sat down to start doing the recording for Is That Enough? And I couldn't shut the fuck up about it. So it was over 3 hours long. And I just, like I said, I can see you guys devour about 2 hour long episodes, but I wasn't going to really try it for three. That's just, that's not really even, I don't even want to have to sit down in, you know, for 3 hours and listen to myself talk. Okay. I don't like the sound of my voice that much. So I split it into two episodes, and I at first was calling it part one and part two. And I was seeing that even with that though, like people were just skipping right to part two. Part one is important. And when I listened through to part one again, I kind of changed the entire title because it's kind of more the focus of what that first hour of conversation is about. And it's really just driving home the point that I've made. I also know you're not listening through this podcast series. You could dive into any episode, okay? And you don't walk away with a sense that this girl doesn't like absolutely love Marvin Gaye and doesn't like absolutely have this bias toward Marvin Gaye among any musician that has ever existed in the existence of the planet. Okay, like that's the extreme that I take it to. And more recently, I've even tacked on, don't even try me, because I'm going to say in the future as well. Okay, there will never be another close to the level. So that's where it's at. So the episode, It Was Always Marvin Gaye Among a Lot of Other People, is just kind of really giving you some important insight into my thoughts on that and giving you some statistics on that and just really kind of factualizing that a little bit more than just my extreme bias on it. So it's an interesting conversation. And it's definitely the first part of the entire conversation of the Is That Enough episode. Trust me, the second part of that episode definitely is an arbitrary point that I cut the episode in half. So you're really missing the first part of the conversation if you're just starting on that second episode. I know that's my own fault. I'm going to try and keep my thoughts a little bit more confined to 2 hours long, okay? And not have to do parts to episodes. But definitely, that's just kind of, yes, let's just go through the history of the series so far and the episodes I... Like I said, shame the fuck on me. Who the fuck do I think that I am trying to give y'all only way under an hour episode of Marvin Gaye? Like, I'm never going to get you to listen to that episode, so I'm letting it go. I got to let it go. Okay, back to the preface of the Marvin Gaye Divided Soul
book.
He's explaining that basically from 1979, when he met Marvin Gaye, until the time that Marvin was going from Hawaii over to Europe. He's in contact with Marvin Gaye off and on, and they just meet up for a little kind of scheduled interview discussions, and, you know, it's happening here and there as it's able to happen. He does explain that at one point, he actually went on the road with Marvin, where he was just for a short time on that tour traveling with him, so that they could, you know, just have these discussions. But then it was when Marvin was leaving Hawaii. Maybe he had stopped back off in LA quickly. But then from, you know, he was just going over to Europe. He was doing a short, I don't even know if it was an entire tour, it was a concert, whatever. But I've heard it that after that tour or concert was completed, that there was not money for everybody to come back to America. I believe that from, I think it's the stories from other people. It's from the documentary that's on Kello. Some of those musicians are explaining that they went over there. They were performing in England and they weren't able to, after the concert was completed, I believe that they got, Marvin got stiffed for the money from the promoter. And so there wasn't, you know, just money to pay everybody and get everybody back home. So people were kind of stranded there, air quotes, kind of stranded there, but that when, well, not one by one, but just group by group as he could, Marvin using his own money, paid to send people home. And so it was, before Marvin was over there and in that predicament, he had offered to Ritz for him to come over there with him, and Ritz declined. And so then they didn't, you know, they didn't have an opportunity to speak to each other and meet up and have these discussion, these interview discussions, until Ritz comes over to Ostend when Marvin is working on the Sexual Healing Project. And Ritz has this mindset that he named and, cause the, he puts that in the book, that he named and wrote lyrics for the song. I will find this as well, just keeping in line with this conversation. This is a kind of a winding conversation, but it's flowing to me. Recently-ish, I was Googling Gordon Banks, because Gordon Banks, you see him, he's just really in Marvin's life at that point in time. I do believe Gordon Banks is a part of this concert in England where people can't get home. Gordon Banks was married to Zeola Gay, Marvin's younger sister. Gordon Banks is Marvin's musical director for a period of time, probably beginning about this period of time. Gordon Banks is primarily the main musician kind of that Marvin had already known and been working with that, works with him on the Sexual Healing Project. Gordon Banks does write My Love Is Waiting. We got that little note before from the booklet. So I came across a lot of information on Gordon Banks, but there was this one particular article with him where he was just really describing how much of a genius Marvin Gaye was as a musician, just all the way around. And I think that's right now kind of the segue into tying this back to Time to Get It Together. This is Time to Get It Together is a very well-rounded experience for us of the fullness musician artist that Marvin Gaye was. Okay. And in this article that I was reading, with Gordon Banks, it was Gordon's just sharing of having this one-on-one, first-hand experience, just observing. I feel like he really felt like he was doing a lot of observing Marvin, to where, Art Stewart, you know, had been kind of the solo engineer, kind of the, maybe not playing an instrument, but, you know, just handling the board and all of the, just the technicalities of getting the music recorded. With Marvin in his days in, you know, Marvin's room, right? That's what the studio is called nowadays, Marvin's room.
Marvin's personal studio that he had negotiated for himself, you know, the place he had gotten to in his career to get out of Studio A, you know, where 50 billion people are just traipsing in and out through this little tiny ass house that they've converted into a record company. So that 24/7, listen to any stories about those early days at Motown. It is literally that 24/7. This is the reason why I just simply asked the question once before, like, how did they have the zoning, not being in violation of this is a residential block right here. I'm sorry. We can't have a house in the middle of this block that is going to be in operation 24/7 as a business, but it's actually, you know, making music. Was the soundproofing on that shit really good? And actually, you know what it was? It was a down neighborhood, right? It was just cool. They just had cool neighbors that weren't turning in noise complaints and shit on them, because that is the thing that you hear from any of those musicians at Motown during those days is that it was 24/7. Your recording session could be at 3 o'clock in the morning. They were constantly. I've heard stories from Marvin. Actually, it's Marvin points out that when he recorded Abraham, Martin, and John, he said it was very late in the morning. You know, it was just him and the engineer in the studio and probably the musicians, you know, in the studio. But he was like, the light was very light, you know, just very dim light. And it was like, it was very late at night. And yeah, he felt like he was just in a certain vibe when he was recording that song. Felt like it was a very important song. But yeah, just 24/7, the music was getting made there. So think of being in that kind of environment. Sure, it caused a lot of competition. We know Barry purposefully wanted it to cause all that competition. And it is. It's like when you're just constantly being surrounded by your coworkers like that. So for Marvin to go from that, just kind of in the midst of everybody, to being able to have his own complete separated space, that the whole entire thing is just for him. Yes, that's better. So all of this is, yeah, just flowing for me. I'm just talking about Marvin Gaye, right? I can do that. So, but let's get into Time to Get It Together. Yeah, you know what? So I've been studying this song this week, and I think that because I've been studying it so hard this week, it is the instrumentation side of things that probably for the first time in 26 years is kind of taking a little bit more priority for me. It's like the first thing that I'm focusing on as I've been studying this song this week. It has not been the lyrics so much, because the lyrics have been absorbed and are through and through in me for this entire length of time. And it very, very, very much is a message-rich song. To where, and I just want to get this out of the way so that I can say it and just keep it moving. But, you know, I've done it this many episodes so far. You know, it's just my own little personal anecdotes. So there was a certain point in time. So it's kind of like the latter half, the second half of knowing this person. A birthday of his came up. And, you know, I would just say that every single line in the song Time to Get It Together applied to him. I don't even know if past tense is the correct tense to use. I don't know him anymore, though. I honestly do not know him anymore, though. So specifically, at the time that it was this particular birthday of his, it was very relevant to me to just need to share this Marvin with him. I had shared, you know, this Marvin with him at very relevant times throughout knowing him up to that point. So he has a very, whether he even appreciates it and has an ability to know it or not, he has a, you have been exposed to doctorate level Marvin material. And I've made him aware of that. I know he's aware of it. I don't know how much he appreciates. I think he pretty much appreciates it. He definitely had an appreciation of my level of respect of Marvin and the importance that Marvin is in my life. Here's one little thing that I will shout to him about too. He really, back in those days, from just times that I would tell him stuff about Marvin, he would say to me, you should make like a documentary or something, or you know what I mean? Like you should put something together where you can share your knowledge of Marvin Gaye. And so I will say, when he said that to me at that point in time, like the real time, that moment when he said that to me, that very much did resonate with me. And so obviously, right, it stayed in the back of my mind for a very long time. But yeah, like he definitely had an appreciation for the level of respect and importance that Marvin has in my life. And I appreciated his appreciation of that. You know what I mean? Like that was something, it'd be a deal breaker for me to try and be around anybody that didn't really give a fuck about Marvin. No, I can't even deal with you if that's your take on the situation. But, so there had been, you know, just opportunities, many throughout the years of knowing him, where I was like, okay, let me give you a little of this, a little sample of this, a little taste of this, you know what I'm saying? And so I was definitely just, and I'd give him a little backstory, and now you know. So I hadn't exposed him to Time to Get It Together yet. And it was his birthday though. And, you know, we were changed. Like things were just kind of changed. Like we were in this latter half of knowing each other. And, I don't necessarily think that he was like so deep into every single lyric of that song being his day to day. But I think, you know, he had pretty recently-ish, it had been. I think he had an ability to have a on the other side of it, perspective. And like I say, I don't know how much any element of the lyrics of this song ever maybe come back up into play in his life, and he dibbles and dabbles a little bit in this and a little bit of that. I don't know that he has every single element of it going on as his existence anymore, but I also don't know that he doesn't ever dabble in a little of this or a little of that either. You know, that's, I just honestly have to say that. So that particular birthday though, and it was like, this is your birthday gift, dude. It's like, it's the most important thing that I could think to give to you for your birthday. It's life, dude. And it's a lesson. And it's very important for you to get it today on your birthday. I want you to see that, like, I know your story and I understand your story, but I hope that I am seeing you wanting to have an ability to understand Time to Get It Together. And maybe if you're not fully there, I'm kind of nudging you into it's time to get it together. And let me do it just via a song. Like, I can't harp on you and nag on you and get in your ass on you about this. But a song from your man, you know what I'm saying? I know you will hear this song coming from Marvin. And Marvin is singing about his life. And I know that Marvin singing about his life to you on your birthday is going to be something that you are going to 100% hear and understand. And it's very much time to make sure that you can hear and understand shit like this. So here you go. Happy birthday. Of course, I did not give him all of that. This is just like, here's a song I want you to hear today. Sent it to him. And I am just going to wait to see what I am told about it. And so, you know, it wasn't long. I think he listened to it a few times, but it was the day of, and like within an hour or so, he came back at me and just said, wow, he's like, this dude and his ability to just like always hit it on the head. You know what I'm saying? It's just, and of course I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember everything this fool said, but it shook him to his core. He got it to his core. He heard it to his core. He absorbed it to his core. I really do feel like that was an important moment in his life to his core. Do you know what I'm saying? Because let's understand what this was for him. This was his very first time hearing this song. every single lyric of the song at a point in his life had been his song. You know what I'm saying? And it was time for him to just solidly kind of, that chapter of my life was closed. You know what I'm saying? What I also just, to my core, know that I have to know is that, like I just said before, I don't know to this day that he never dabbled. And what I'm, why am I saying dibble and dabble? I know that's not a say. But let me say it again. I don't know how much he ever dibbles and dabbles into any element of this song. I can't know that I endorse him, you know, so well as to say that I know he never does. I can't endorse him like that. But I definitely know that the day that he heard this song for the first time, that was a life experience for him. And that's just how important the message of this song is, people. It's a life message. And if you are somebody who the lyrics of the song were your life, but you kind of have had a propensity. It's just that. It's a propensity to appreciate that you need to get your shit together quite a bit better than all of this. You know, no judgment. And that was definite, you know, it was everything. Oh my goodness. In this song, that could have been preached to him. Do you know what I'm saying? And that was, it was, I could not preach it to him. You know, I could know it to say it to him, but just that, if I would have said it to him, it would have been a sermon. It would have been preaching. It would have been holier than thou, and it would not be received, right? So that's why sometimes, and just for your man, and he was not my man at the time. He was my friend. But yeah, I don't even know if you could play this, just play this for your man. Like, that's kind of a reach. I don't know that it should be your man. That's all I could just, you know, but you, somebody that you just, come on now, Holmes, and let me let you hear something and get some type of an indication from your homeboy that, are you a little changed now? Did it just, I'm sorry. Does the song have an ability to change your life a little bit? Just now, it's not a joke, people. This song is not anything less than that. You want to put this on somebody for the first time where you, in knowing this person, have been able to observe that there's really not been a lyric in this song that wasn't a part of your life at some point. And maybe it was like what your life consisted of at some point. Maybe there were times that it was a little bit of this and times that it was a little bit of that, times that it was most of all of it. But damn, we also have to get to a place just having that propensity of knowing that there needs to be a bit more. Okay. And I can't really express that to you. I can't. I just can't do that because you're not going to receive it. You just because I would be telling it to you, you wouldn't receive it just because of that. Just for that, just because I was telling you is exactly the reason why it would fall on deaf ears and you'd have it, nothing would be absorbed. But if I could give it to you from the coolest motherfucker on the planet, baddest motherfucker on the planet that there ever is, every single lyric in the song is what you need to hear to change your life today, this moment that you hear it. But then, okay, so it's always had this magnitude, this level of importance, this level of what it is. Okay, just lyrically. It's that type of a vehicle for change.
I don't know when this thing just stopped recording on me. But this song has always had an ability to change your life in the, I believe I've been studying this all week. Is it about 3:48? I think it's about 3:48. I'm so serious. That is the magnitude lyrically to life that this song has always weighed. Okay, it weighs that much. It's like life-changing. That's how much the song weighs. But, so that has never been lost on me. It's never been lost on me. But it's been my ability this week in studying this thing where,
all right, now I'm going to take you to a totally different element of discussing Marvin.
Hi, as long as I take a pause in the middle of an episode, it's to run an ad, and obviously I have the potential to make a couple of pennies, but trust me guys, it's only pennies. I ain't quitting my day job. That being the case, I have to keep it tied to things that are three things that are for sure. Let me keep it very trouble, man. Lip care, hair care, and Marvin. So lip care wise, I came across this product line called Sarah Happ. They focus exclusively on lips. I'm using a daily lip scrub. It is a sugar-based lip scrub. I'm holding it right now. I use it every morning. Little dabble do you. It makes my lips feel so much better as soon as I use it. And then I immediately follow it up with their Lip Slip. It is the highest quality lip moisturizer I've ever come across. Ben, half black and half Mexican, when it comes to my hair care needs, they're out of control. I have been willing to spend way too much money for products that don't yield results. And finally, I came across the Shea Moisture line. I can't recommend it highly enough. I'm finally getting the consistent results that I need without breaking the bank. And then the last daily need, Marvin Gaye. So what I'm going to do is put links in the show note of these products,
and it's going to take you directly to them. So here's the full transparency. If you click on my link and you buy the product, I'm going to get the couple pennies, but obviously that's not changing my life. So that's not what this is for. It has to be about therefore products that I totally swear by and totally recommend. I'm looking so forward to what Amazon has. It is a remaster of the 1972 live What's Going On concert at the Kennedy Center. I'm getting mine. I hope you get yours. So take a look in the show notes for links for these products, and let's just get back to the story. Bye.
Okay, I'm going to take you to a totally different element of discussing Marvin, but I realize I have about at least 2 points that I need to finish. I recognized 2 things that I did not finish telling you about. Let's circle back to the foreword of this book that I just felt a responsibility to make an attempt to deeply dive into so that I could speak to you from it. And in the attempt of doing that, I got the understanding for my actual take of everything related. So I was only in the updated foreword of this project, and I'm reading it. And so he very first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words, he explains that they meet in 1979. So, okay. But like I said, he explained that it was when Marvin was heading overseas, to go over to Europe that, okay, so it was before 1982 that Marvin was out of the country, and he and Ritz were not able to have these in-person little meetings. So he said 2.5 years went by that they weren't able to meet in person. And then in 82, he went over to Austin. All right. So there's that, just finishing that up. To tie back into what I was saying about Gordon Banks, so that Gordon Banks, you see Gordon Banks is rehearsing with Marvin for the legendary, though Marvin didn't even mean it to be. Marvin was just fucking rehearsing. But Marvin is also giving us every single bit of his strength and power on a very flat, horizontal positioning of himself.
And it's just like, you have to witness that. So take a look on the YouTube channel for that. It's in the concerts, interviews, documentaries playlist. You'll see it. But Gordon Banks is the guy playing the guitar in that rehearsal session. And, you know, Gordon Banks stays on with Marvin after that performance, tour, whatever, where people weren't able to immediately get back. And Marvin just had to, you know, use his own money to pay for people's airfare to get them home. Some people stayed on. Gordon, I think Gordon Banks is the main person that like stayed with him like the whole time, mainly the whole time. Maybe Gordon went back a little bit to be with Zeola. See, this is my question. It's like, and maybe it's answered in Zeola's book. Zeola Gay does have a book on Marvin Gaye, which I have also not read. I am not hesitant to read it. I was just going to put my take on that. There seems to be conflicts between Zeola and Marvin's other sister, who I do believe is possibly still alive. I know at the time that her book came out, Marvin's older sister was still alive. And Jan, I'm just going to say it, you know what I mean? Because it's just speaking to an elephant that's in the room, you know what I mean? I will say that I always observe that whatever I've heard Zeola say, she's speaking in love, you know? She's never saying anything negative. But it definitely seems that for some reason, Jan, like, absolutely wants no one to pay attention to Zeola's book. And you see Zeola actually quite a bit in Marvin's life during the 70s. You know, she was on tour with him a lot. Like, if you see that documentary that PBS did, the American Masters documentary, they show Zeola in that. And it's, I think, like, what they show is very telling of the loving sister to a brother relationship. It's a scene, Marvin is getting ready to go on stage somewhere. Zeola is putting honey down his throat. It's like, I feel like she has just a spoon of honey that Marvin's just got his head back and his mouth open. And she's just like letting the honey go down his throat. Like, she very much, anytime that I ever see any pictures of Marvin and Zeola, or you just get to actually see them interacting like that, Zeola is just in awe of her big brother, right? Like, you can just tell that she definitely loved her big brother. And I'm sorry, blood is thicker than the mud. So that's his blood sister. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she's entitled to tell her story about her brother. So there's definitely not a reason, like a principled reason that I have not read her book. I just haven't read it. But definitely it's not something that I would not want to read. But I wonder if in her story, she does kind of elaborate a little bit about her marriage to Gordon, because I've actually been thinking about this lately. It's like, I really do kind of think that Gordon was with Marvin, a significant portion of the time that he was over in Europe. Let's call it that. Like, I don't know. I honestly don't think that I should say that he was there the whole time. But I know that maybe he was there, left, and came back. You know what I'm saying? And in this interview that Gordon Banks was giving about his time watching Marvin recording and working on Sexual Healing, I'm wondering, like, was he married to Zeola at that point in time? Because she wasn't there with him. So it just, that's kind of a question that I have. But Gordon Banks speaks to how much of a genius Marvin is. Gordon Banks speaks to the fact that Marvin was asking Gordon Banks to take on some of the responsibilities of the technicalities of recording this music that Art Stewart had been in charge of during the days that Art Stewart was his primary musical technician in Marvin's room, Marvin's own studio. Just seems like Art Stewart was fully capable, trained in what he was doing, and he could totally be the only person in the studio with Marvin and just taking care of all of the important technicalities of things. I'm looking through the books of Hear My Dear, and one thing that I get is, like, due to Art Stewart's, you know, usual professionalism, he's got the only records of musicians that were in the studio recording on the various songs. The original release came out. It didn't have that information. When they re-released it, which is the first disc of it that I got, and in that whole little booklet, and then the little asterisk that was talking shit that just set me off on that particular...
episode. Is it Here, My Dear? It might be the Here, My Dear episode. Anyway, there's some episode where I had my original disc booklet of Here, My Dear that I got when I was like probably maybe 15 to 16 years old. And I was reading through the book and there literally was a little asterisk. It was written by Ritz. And in my opinion, it was talking shit and it was referencing. I don't think I really ever elaborated on what it was talking shit about, but it was referencing the fact that Marvin Gaye never kept record of who was recording on his projects. And it's just like, so there's no accurate record of who the musicians are on every song, blah, da, 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 da. But there are a few people listed here that are, remembered from somebody. It wasn't Art Stewart. And now in the 30-year anniversary, the booklet in there, you get a way back to the back of it. And then there's now another little note. Well, it's not probably coming from Ritz, but it explained that Art Stewart, due to his usual professionalism, once they got into the 30-year anniversary of releasing this disc, there they came across that Art had written down who the musicians were per song. And that he had, I guess like if somebody just fucking asked him, when Gordon Banks basically was in this position of Art Stewart over in Ostend, well, Gordon Banks wasn't Art Stewart. He was a guitar player and musical director, but I don't think that he had had all of this experience in the studio. I believe like that's what I recall Gordon saying in this interview, it was kind of like, a first experience for him, a lot of the things. And Marvin would just be telling him, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And Gordon would be like, huh? I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know. Marvin's like, yeah, no, but I need you to do it. something about like, I don't know, like I need you to, I'm going to find the article. I'll make a pin of it. I'll put it on the Pinterest page so that you can read his words himself. And what I will just explain is that Gordon Banks very explicitly gets into the whole, he talks about the whole entire album, okay? He talks about the fact that, it got to a place that Marvin did trust him when Gordon handed him, the song, hey, this is something I wrote, and it is the My Love is Waiting, and Marvin loves it, and they recorded it, and it's on the record. But Gordon speaks to the song Sexual Healing and writing on that and the whole entire process. And so I'm going to put a link to it because Gordon Banks was there the whole time. What I was saying, I think there may have been somebody else. Who else was there is the other person that is credited for writing on Sexual Healing. And actually, hold on, I have my booklet here. Odell Brown, right? Odell Brown. Right. So Odell Brown was there and he did not stay as long. He stayed for a while, but he did not stay as long as Gordon did, and he was not involved in the entire project as much as Gordon was. That was something that I feel like Gordon kind of clarified in this interview, is that Odell was there for some time, but then he kind of left. And but yeah, from start to finish on this thing, Gordon Banks was there, and he would be in the studio just watching Marvin doing every single thing that he was doing for the album and just explaining. And really, it's very, very interesting what Gordon is actually kind of specifying is Marvin's songwriting ability and his ability to come up and on the spot and just the genius with which he could do that. Just like how quickly he could just come up with lyrics and just the whole entire writing a song from scratch process and his instrumentation. And so it is the fact that Marvin Gaye was an all-around musician. And I think that has been lost on me for 26 years. Okay. Because it's like there's two things that are never lost on me. I'm going to start with one that I don't get to have all the time. So one thing that I get to have sometimes, right, is an ability to see Marvin Gaye perform. And when I see Marvin Gaye perform, I am motionless, speechless, mesmerized, jaws dropped, heads to the side, and I'm just fixated.
because he is so gorgeous to watch. Just, he's so, he's just, and I'm probably breathing like that too. So, always been very aware of that. And then, of course, there is the voice only. And I'm not, you know, ashamed to say for 26 years, I have exposed you guys to this. And I'm not ashamed to say it. But yeah, I think I pointed it out to you guys for the first time. Gosh, I know I feel like somehow episode 7 is coming to my mind, because anyway, there's some episode where I'm explaining to you guys that I never had an idea, an understanding of the degree to which Marvin Gaye was a musician of objects. Right? I've told you guys that. I was like, the only instrument that I have focused on that Marvin Gaye was a master at and a master of was his voice. That is the only instrument of Marvin's mastery that I have studied for 26 years. I'm not embarrassed to say this to you. I mean, maybe some people just flat fuck out always know this thing too. But Marvin was such a skilled musician of objects as well. I don't pay attention to that. I have not paid attention to that for 26 years. And in a way, it is somewhat shame on me, because yes, there is a knowledge of Marvin is credited with playing the piano on the What's Going On album. I have never studied the What's Going On album for the piano playing. You know what I mean? It's one of these, I think it's a way that we give Marvin less credit. We give Marvin less credit. I don't think that the world really has the ability to understand the amount of credit that is due Marvin. Because it's that fucking thing. It's that voice, right? It's that voice. And that's where it's like, Marvin, you kind of, I can't even, what can I do? This voice, I'm sorry, you expect me to have to pay attention to so much shit beyond that voice? I can't even, what are we, what? So as I've been studying this song this week, the instrumentation has been my priority. Okay, so I just gave you like 50 minutes. And I definitely got into the lyrics. But the other side, and so this is what I just said is like, I think it's me. It's even me. And imagine that. So, and I told you, I've got this bias towards Marvin Gaye. He's the baddest motherfucker that there ever is on the planet. How much more credit? As I just told you, the planet's existence ever before. It is time, right now, and I have taken it into the future, okay? But Jessica, truthfully, how much more credit could there be to give, but that I don't? Because I want to look at him sing. Can I do that too? Oh my goodness, whenever I can look at him sing too. Because I can hear him sing all day long, but sometimes I get to look at him singing. I told you there's this Soul Train box set and he's on there doing Distant Lover. Oh my gosh. And of course he's even just lip singing, but it's Marvin Gaye's doing it. And there's a girl in the audience that is like, yes, Miss Thing. I know. That's right. She's like not breathing. Like she's what did I tell? It's like you're paralyzed, you're fixated, you're motionless, you're speechless, your jaw's dropped, your head is just there. The girl, and she's me. Okay, that's exactly how I'd be reacting. It's like when I'm in that, I'm sorry. You can't ask much more of me to be paying attention to. Okay. And this is a complete thing. This is the way that I think that sometimes motherfuckers nowadays, want to try and talk shit about, well, why does Marvin Gaye, you know, that's hindering my creative freedom.
if I have to give my credit back to came from Marvin Gaye. You know, it's like, I think that some, why does everything have to be coming from Marvin Gaye? Why can't it be possible? Well, it's like, because actually though, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think that we fail to understand exactly how much credit is due to Marvin Gaye. Okay. And it's a fact. It's not just me. It's not me, because I can't even give him all this credit. I can't concentrate enough on everything about him at the same time that there is to give him credit for. Okay. Trust me. I've gotten away with it. This is what has been my lot for the past 26 years. But I say it without embarrassment or, you know, shame. I have focused exclusively on the thing. I'm a woman. You know what I'm saying? This man is highly attractive. He has intelligence to use his words respectfully, talking about important man-woman topics. And I'm sorry, you expect me to be paying attention to a whole lot of more other stuff when I'm in the midst of this type of experience with him? Man, I'm just a woman. But when I have been listening to this song this week, it's like, okay, people, we're going to the Soulful Moods of Marvin Gaye episode. Let me do this with me. We have to go slowly. We have to breathe, and we just really are going to have to concentrate. Okay. This is inner ear work. This is inner ear work is required. Beats. Okay. Beats bows. Possibly costs. You know what I'm saying? But it's ear. It's inner ear. It's not room filled. It's to the ear, covering the ear, or inside of the ear, okay? Preferably noise canceling if you have that little switch ability. I have some noise canceling headphones that they need to be charged in order for that thing to work, and I just need to take my charger. I keep them at work, and I need to take my charger so that I can switch on the noise canceling. Oh, because they do cancel the noise, and that's a beautiful thing. I don't really let them know that I'm canceling out their noise, but I can, and I need to get that charged up. But anyway, this is ear work, people. This is resources to your ear work required, okay? But I'm going to ease you into this, starting with the Soulful Moods of Marvin Gaye. I tell you on that. Okay, let's breathe. Let's think. Let's concentrate. We listen to that, and we get a very gentle, peaceful, quiet, delicate exposure, real time, to, if you can concentrate on it, you're hearing Marvin Gaye playing the drums, okay? And I tell you, his little wrist action, right? It's very smooth. It's very skilled. And if you just actually pay attention, if you can concentrate, you're experiencing, you can just hold your breath and listen. That's Marvin Gaye playing the drums. Because there's Marvin Gaye being the sexiest motherfucker that he wants to be if you get to watch him, and now you're barely breathing and your head's cocked to the side and you can't speak or move. So I'm sorry, it's too much to ask me to concentrate on too much more than that. But okay, like, take away that element of distraction and just let me have it in my ear. Okay, now I can give you a few more of my senses. And, okay, so just let me listen to him. Because, like, if you're trying to work with me on some shit, like, I've got to just be able to only listen to him, okay? You got to help me help you help me, okay? Now we're just in the audible element of things. And if you can, like, peel your concentration off of the thing and really concentrate your focus, you can absorb and experience for this entire song. You just heard Marvin Gaye playing the drums. Okay. You were hearing him saying, of course, but he's also this whole entire time, that very soft and skillful drumming that you're hearing, that's Marvin Gaye. It's hard to give Marvin Gaye all of the credit that he is due. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm trying to explain to you? It's very difficult to focus on all of the credit that Marvin Gaye is due sometimes, because it's just like, I'm sorry, I want to focus on the thing. The thing was all I've known how to pay attention to. And then when I get to see him too, then I'm no good for anything. In the song Time to Get It Together, and hold on, let me grab the book here so that I can explain what it is explaining in here as far as the instrumentation for the entire project. And I've tried to Google this thing and I can't even fucking find it to understand what it is. You tell me. Somebody that's listening around the world knows what this thing is. Okay, but now I'm in the 30th anniversary booklet. And when it gets to musicians, that's where it's giving the credit to the usual professionalism of Art Stewart, that he jotted down who fucking was playing the instruments on all the songs. So it wasn't really that hard to find people. It was in his fucking notes from the original recordings. Oh, but they couldn't find that for 30 years. Gotta talk shit about how Marvin didn't keep track of it. His man was keeping track of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I've got you hired for something and you got a job to do, then that's your fucking job to do. I ain't gotta be doing it. That's your job. And obviously Art was doing his job. So, and that's a reflection of Marvin though. So you don't be able to just be talking shit about how Marvin didn't, he had somebody whose job it was to do that. Therefore Marvin was doing that. Excuse you. So anyway, there is a three quarters of a page list of who these fucking musicians are on this album. Okay? It existed. And it starts with Marvin Gaye saying that he's doing vocals, piano, Rhodes, Roland bass, synth and horns, tape box percussion. Now, in this article that I started out referencing to you, this chick, where you could tell she was doing half and half. She's a writer, and you can tell she's a writer, but you can tell that she's got some respect for Marvin Gaye, but she's throwing in some little talking shit, quote-unquote facts, where it's the first time that I'm ever hearing it, and so it's like, why do you know this? You know what I'm saying? Like, but like, really, who are you that you just know this shit? You're throwing it out like, oh, I should have been known this. So she was just stating some shit where it was like, huh? Like, I don't know that I trust that you know what the fuck you're talking about. But anyway, she was saying that in the course of recording this project, a lot of the time, Marvin would come straight from court and get into the studio so that things that he's singing about in regard to this divorce proceeding is very fresh because it just happened that day in court. So we've experienced some of those lines, right? Well, you know, evidently, according to what this bitch knew, you know, Marvin just came from court and he's writing the song. That he preferred to write as many of the lyrics to these songs on the spot in the studio as possible, like fresh from his experiences. And that as much as he could, he was preferring to perform, play the instruments. Like he tried to keep it minimal, the additional musicians that were in on the songs, playing the songs, because like that's kind of just how organic these things were coming together for him. He's writing it, he's playing it, you know, it's all just kind of flowing, coming up on the spot, and he's trying to kind of have the handle on the sound of it as much as possible. So when we get into this list of musicians here, it does point out song, you know, by song, what they're playing on. So it's like there's several guitar players, and specifically one guitar player, Spencer Bean, is playing on Time to Get It Together. And Fernando Harkless is playing the tenor saxophone on Time to Get It Together. I Googled a Roland bass. When I Google that, it's bringing up a little teeny tiny synthesizer machine that it says doesn't come out until 1981, though. So that's not this. because this is 77 through 78. So I really am not understanding what a Roland bass is. I'm also seeing some pictures of an actual bass guitar looking instrument connected to Roland. So I don't know, but we have the pictures of Marvin from the early 60s. We have the liner notes from Soulful Moods of Marvin Gaye, his very first album, where he is being described as being a skillful piano player, guitarist, and a drummer. Perhaps it said bass in there, but I know it's a bass guitar that he's got. So, you know, he just, and then it says he's playing a Roland bass on this thing. Synth and horns. Which I know is kind of, it's like a synthesizer, right? It's like a keyboard synthesizer, funky vibe thing. Synth and horns? What the fuck does that mean? Does Marvin play a horn too? Does the synthesizer make a horn? You know what I'm saying? I'm not a musician. I don't know what these things mean. But this is the credit that our man is due. This is the thing. Exactly the fuck. It doesn't matter if you don't understand what the fuck something is. It's credited to him. I'm trying to look up what a Roland bass is. I can't necessarily find it to where I'm like, oh, specifically, that's it. This is the only thing that could be. No, I don't know. Marvin knew how to play it. Okay, he was playing it. Doesn't even matter if on the song I can tell you, oh, right there's the Roland bass. It doesn't matter. He's due the credit anyway. That's what I'm saying. I just think that, like, our minds are not really able to comprehend sometimes the degree and the depth and the width and the breadth, the depth of the credit that he's due. But that does not take the fucking fact away that he did that shit. You know what I'm saying? And that even, if you're like me, you can't even fucking pay attention to what he's doing when you're hearing him fucking doing it. Okay? At least in the Soulful Moods of Marvin Gaye, some of those songs are so gentle and light and sparsely instrumented. And my baby was playing the three instruments, right? He was playing the guitar, the piano, and the drums. And it's really hard for me to pay attention to him playing those drums because I'm paying attention to the thing. Okay? It's hard to understand the fullness of the credit that he's due. It's easy. He is so gorgeous. He's so fine to not think him as deep and well-rounded, an actual musician, an artist, real. You know what I mean? Like he's such a piece of eye candy. It's kind of just like more superficial. You want it to just kind of be that level because you know that's superficial to just be so focused on how gorgeous this man was. Okay? Appreciate more than that. And you can, because you can definitely appreciate that voice. But it's like, it is so much more than just the voice. He wrote it. Okay, so when we get to this song, I don't get no updated information that, oh, you know, Marvin wrote this song with this and that other person. Okay, and actually, hold on. I do believe that this is one of the songs that is credited to Townsend. Let me just, before I just talked that shit, so hold on one second, because I do believe that that is the credit that I get for him. Everybody Needs Love, co-written. Oh, yeah, no. Anger was written by Marvin Gaye, Delta Ashby, and Ed Townsend. Everybody Needs Love and Sparrow, co-written by Marvin Gaye and Ed Townsend. And that's it. Then, you know, let me go pages back, and there's this little updated information. When did you stop loving me? When did I stop loving you? And Is That Enough? Written by Marvin Gaye and Anna Gaye. A Funky Space Reincarnation. Written by Marvin Gaye and Mike somebody. I can't see that. Yeah, okay. I have just exhausted that. Time to Get It Together. It's solely written by Marvin Gaye. Okay. And I don't give a fuck to look anymore for that either. I hate seeing shit like this. One of the first places that I was reading, it says all songs written, produced, and arranged by Marvin Gaye. Then Anger is co-written. Everybody was co-written. This song was co-written. Updated information. It's like, but a song that's not popping up in the little, oh, but and this and that and updated information. Time to Get It Together is written by Marvin Gaye. Okay, so Marvin Gaye pulls this out of the universe from nothing. Okay, we could have been sitting in a room together and there was nothing. And then he starts generating, creating his art, being in his art history, being an artist, and we get Time to Get It Together. As much as possible, I do believe this, what that lady said in her little article, he was trying to limit the, other musicians in on songs. So on Time to Get It Together, yes, if I go back over here, it was saying that this guy was playing some type of a horn. I'm not at the list of musicians. Okay, so Fernando Harkless is playing the tenor saxophone. That's the saxophone in the song. Okay, yep, I can hear Fernando. And then, let's see. A guitar.
I think that the guitar is maybe a little buried. I don't think that it's prominent. But Spencer Bean is playing that. And, oh, okay. There's a Melvin Webb is playing the cowbell on Time to Get It Together. And we hear that. But that's very much, something tells me that possibly Marvin had laid that out for Melvin Webb. Like, this is what I want you to do, right? Because I don't know. I don't really think that I'm going to give an episode to Got to Give It Up so that I can talk about Got to Give It Up, you know, other places and sprinkling it here and there. What we know about Got to Give It Up is that it really starts from, and see, this is some shit that I hate too. You just always get five different versions of the same story about things, right? So let me go back to, it's the, I believe that documentary that MTV does when I'm a sophomore in high school. This is the first time that I recall hearing about the origin of Got to Give It Up. And it is Art Stewart being interviewed. And so he explains how they're in Marvin's room. And Marvin has a grapefruit juice bottle. It's, you know, not all the way full, right? And he starts tapping on it, using it as a percussion instrument. And he comes up with the foundation, the beat, the foundation of Got to Give It Up. And so just from there, they start adding the instruments. But it's Marvin from, and Art Stewart was so specific to say a grapefruit juice bottle, okay? Now, years later, since all of that shit specifically around Got to Give It Up came up in a very legal content, you know, context, I saw a recorded interview and somebody was like, yeah, we've got this guy. I don't want to say it's this, but I just find it interesting about a cowbell and this guy being credited to playing the cowbell. There was some dude, that old dude that they were interviewing, and this dude was supposedly the one that was playing the cowbell in Got to Give It Up. And that, you know what I'm saying? He was the one that originated and it's a cowbell. And it's like, that's not what the fuck I heard. I heard from Art Stewart, Marvin Gaye's engineer, who 9 times out of 10, if, you know, everybody else's tracks have been laid down and stuff. The two people that are in the studio are Marvin and Art. And according to Art, Marvin came up with the beat to his song, by playing specifically a grapefruit juice bottle. And so it's just like, okay, wait a minute, but now it's supposed to be you? That's it. It's like, no, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's very difficult to get factual information, I do believe, about most things that have to do around Marvin Gaye. Okay, which is going to lead me back to another
thing that I started out with, which was saying that in the foreword, back into the snow. 82, he brings his ass over to Austin. According to him, he named and wrote lyrics, and that then there became some conflicts about that statement between him and Marvin. And in 1983 was the last time that Ritz sees Marvin. And it was at a hospital, and it was the birth of Marvin's brother's child. And for some reason, Ritz comes to the hospital and Marvin is there. And he says at first, you know, there was tension. And Marvin wasn't, you know, didn't like really want to talk to him or whatever. And I could see that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, from Marvin's point of view, you got some person that you've got some dispute going over credit for something, right? And then you're at your family's gathering, an important time that's definitely just going to bring family together. And then you see that person showing up there too. It's like, whatever, you know what I mean? So while you're probably just going to keep it cool, keep it classy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not necessarily just needing to have an in-depth conversation with that person. But what did we talk about in the last episode? So I can give you the way that I'm going to handle a situation, and it's not the way that Marvin Gaye is going to handle a situation. Because, by the time that this fool is leaving, he says that Marvin came over and, like, they meditated together or whatever. And, like, yeah, he wanted everybody to just kind of silently meditate for a couple of minutes and just, you know what I mean? Like, squashing things. And Marvin gave him a hug and told him, God bless you. And that was that. They never saw each other again. And so from there, this fool continued to pursue the sexual healing subject. But that, yeah, they were having problems with that whole topic, and it hadn't gotten to a lawsuit yet. He says, though, it was getting there. And so then this is the last time that he sees Marvin, is this time his brother's child is being born. There's obviously some tension. You know, Marvin doesn't, what the fuck are you doing here? Him. But Marvin says, oh, let's pray and God bless you, and give him a hug. And then this fool, after that point in time, because that's the last time that he sees Marvin, he pushes this agenda of his forward. And he gets this credit that he, according to him, what he said, he named and he wrote the lyrics for the song. And then he just, you know, he'd had his time from 79 to, good gosh, in 82, what did he say, a year and a half had gone by? In 1982, two and a half years had gone by. So, fuck. 1982, take away 2 years, is 1980. Take away half a year from that is 1979. And they met in 1979. So, they met in 1979. In 1982, 2.5 years had gone by since they had been able to be in person and have their in-person interviews for this book. He credits himself for naming and writing the song. Last time Marvin sees him, he blesses him and gives him a hug. Then he takes this thing to the lawsuit stage to get his credit for the song. And then he decided that he really just needed to finish this book as a solitary work.
And, you know, because he just felt that he had to write the book. And so what he really kind of had to do was months of interviews worth of material, studying time from just being a fan, and interviews from people.
Met him in 79. By 1982, 2.5 years had gone by. Had some interviews. Was a fan. Co-writer of the song.
And interviews that he had to conduct in order to write this book. Which I tell you, I struggle with. So I struggle with the book, but I felt an obligation to deep dive into it. I got as far as that, and then I understood why I understand what I understand. So I can't give you the book as a factual resource, okay? I can't. It's just not, I told you my struggles with it. Its presentation, two sentence paragraphs. It's so I can't do that. So that's that. That's that. But it's the credit that Marvin is due is, I think it's more than we want to comprehend. I think it's more than we can comprehend sometimes. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a lot to take in. It has to do with his just vocal presentation of himself. It's four layers at the same time, four octave range, right? Supposedly. And he could be hitting you with, I'm hitting you on this octave, I'm hitting you in 1, 2, 3, 4 octaves at the same time. Just going to blend it. So catch me if you can on the thing. Just try and pay attention to that thing. Just try and pay attention to the thing. I love the subtlety of his delivery of his lyrics. So yes, I have been sitting up in here and I'm talking shit to you about how I try and look at this book, and I can guarantee you that lyrics that I'm seeing in here are not the lyrics that I hear. But trust me, and do know that I understand the lyrics that I tell you that I'm hearing, that Marvin, that's what I hear him singing. Do you? Maybe you don't hear him singing the same thing. I really don't, you know, I really don't know. Who can tell? But it's a purposeful thing. Maxwell has stated that he enjoys that. He enjoys you having to try and figure out what he is saying. I do believe Marvin has the same satisfaction that for 26 years you can be listening to the same song and there's some discussion to be had about what did he just say? You know what I mean? These albums, 9 times out of 10, were not being released with the lyrics. It is confirmed that the vinyl released in 78 didn't have lyrics included in it. So Marvin didn't most of the time. I believe he gives you the lyrics and what's going on, right? But most of the time, he's not giving you the lyrics to these songs, okay? And I've told you, he ain't a mushmouth singer. He ain't somebody that it's like, what did you just say? Like, because of just the way that you just said it. But it's the subtlety with which he says things. It's the layering with which he says things. So that's why I'm saying, catch him if you can, just trying to focus on his voice. But time to get it together is a very real-time experience that you can have. And I need you to do ear work with it, inner ear work. It's not fill the room. It's not fill the car work. You have to have headphones, okay? It's best to have good ones. I have some little piece of shit headphones. When I'll travel sometimes, especially when I was doing it a lot for work, I could find myself at the airport and I don't have my headphones. I forgot. That's something I forgot to pack, right? So you stop into some little shop at the airport. And of course, they're going to have some little $12 headphones. That's what I have most of the time that I'm relying on in my room for some reason. You know what? I will say I've had some Beats, the in-ear ones, and I have broken them. They just fell all the way apart. I can't even, they give no sound anymore. I've told you the studio
the really expensive fancy ones I have, they are tore the fuck up. I cannot take them out of this house. I'm not presenting myself that ghetto-ly to the world, but they still work. Like, they are still giving me every single bit of the money's worth. So when I'm listening to this song in those, oh, all right, now we can do this work here. I'm going to need you, and I can let you go on this because I'm just going to really let this song do the work, okay? This is, and I've told you this so many times. The best way that you experience Marvin Gaye songs at is for two things. For yourself and for yourself. You know, I don't know what was the second thing that I was going to say. For yourself, and you know, you don't really allow somebody else's shit talk about it to cloud your mind first. Hopefully you're safe here. You're never getting any shit talk about any of these songs, but you know, you form your own opinion no matter what I say about these songs, okay? If you can't understand it, you aren't listening to many of these, so that's cool, you know, and you're not hurting my feelings. But get into the song. I need you to have something on the ears. And it would just be nice if they were high quality. That's all. You know, I get it. Shit, I need to replace these motherfuckers. I ain't got $350 to spend on no damn headphones right now. You know what I'm saying? And places that I like to get things from, they even have flex pay where you can break it down. I still ain't got the 50, 60 bucks a month to spend on the, like, I told you it is self-care. I looked at it. Okay, because I do. I just really could replace these things right now because they are so busted up. I can't take them anywhere. It's so embarrassing. Like, I just would not be presenting myself to the world like that with, like, shit that's literally got, like, packaging tape on it. And I'm not doing that, though. Okay, like, I just don't. I'm not putting that foot forward. So they could be replaced. And I was looking into doing that recently, and they are $350. And it's self-care. But guess what? They still work. So this, I got the self-care. Everybody don't need to know that I can self-care. But I can still accomplish the self-care because there is absolutely everything on the planet to be said about the healing properties credit that Marvin Gaye is due. For the gifts, the enduring gifts that he has given to this planet that he managed to accomplish in his 44 short years of life. Okay? And so this is rarity. This is highest quality. This is premium shit here. When you have the ability to be on the highest level of listening resource experience with that, all of a sudden, let me give you a little assignment. You need to listen, okay? And I'm going to just need you to try your hardest, okay? And that's all you can do. As long as you tried your hardest at something, then nobody can be disappointed in you, you know? And you can really feel good about that effort that you made. So, there's layers of Marvin's voice in this song. There is the exact lyrics that Marvin is singing in this song. If this will help you get your life together, felicidades. You know what I'm saying? And it can happen in a one-time listening. Especially if this song applies to the ways that you need to get your shit together. And this is the first time that you're hearing that. And you have a propensity to understand that it's time to get your shit together. Okay, I witnessed that happen. There's a lot to take in on this song, okay? There's Fernando Harkless on the saxophone, and there's, who else? There's our guy playing the cowbell. I'm going to suggest that Marvin went ahead and laid that out for him, and then he's handling that because our man is handling a lot. Let's see, who else was... Then we've got Spencer Bean on the guitar. I can't even tell what the guitar is in this song, but, you know, you'll hear it maybe
you don't have, that's not your assignment. We have that Marvin is handling vocals, piano, Rhodes, Roland bass, synth and horns, tape box, percussion. Put this song on. Try your hardest. You may need to listen to it multiple times. Oh, what's wrong with that? Maybe why don't you go ahead and put it on and hit the loop button. Hit the one-time repeat. And I'm going to need you to write up at 2 minutes and 00 seconds even, okay? Just do what you need to do. Right at that time, I need you to focus your attention into your left ear, okay? The left ear. And for the next about 30 seconds, pay attention to the synthesizer that you are hearing, okay? The synthesizer, the keyboard, you gotta listen in your left ear, and it's in the back, but it's pretty prominent too. At that point, it has come in again very strong. It ebbs and flows. There's times when Marvin's layers of the thing are taking over your attention. You will hear that saxophone. The saxophone is very audible. The cowbell is also very audible. I'm sure you're seeing some choreography in your mind. Or do you have a stage full of dancers? I see them and they are doing choreography. Okay. It is very tight. Bodies are moving, but try. I'm asking you, please focus. 2 minutes up and down. Go to the left ear. That's why I'm telling you guys, this is ear work. It's like inner ear work. I need you having something over the ear, in the ear. Left ear. Focus for like the next 30 seconds right then and there. Guess what the credit is? That's Marvin Gaye. That's Marvin Gaye groove. Real time, he's doing that. You are listening right then and there. That you are hearing, that is Marvin Gaye doing that, okay? He's still singing. And he laid out the cowbell beat, I can guarantee you. Got the saxophone, you got the choreography, but pay attention. You may need to do this a couple of times. That also, right there, is Marvin Gaye. He is a skilled musician of objects. He wrote every single part of what you were listening to, okay? It came from zero, nothing, and it layered and layered and layered and layered and layered into this. This song layers and layers and layers and layers. I think it goes about 4 times into the leveling up in the song. That's all Marvin. That is all Marvin. Okay? Somebody that's playing a horn or dinging on a cowbell is doing what Marvin needed them to sound like, while he is also delivering a significant portion of the sound that you were hearing, while he is also singing for you. Marvin Gaye is due like so much credit that, yes, motherfuckers, don't try it. Don't try it. And it's hard not to. You don't even mean to nowadays. You don't even mean to. You, bless your little heart, think that you have this creativity inside of you that you just originally came up with and it sounded like this, and you want to be able to sue people to say, I came up with this and it sounded like this, damn it. So I'm suing you so you don't sue me because I say that what I just created sounded like this. And forget Marvin Gaye. You know, no, okay, see, when we go there, bad things, no. Okay. Marvin, I know everybody can't understand it. It's hard for me to focus and grasp and understand and appreciate the degree to which he does. It's his credit. It doesn't matter if you can understand that he deserves it. It's his fucking credit. Okay. So, yeah, it's like, bless your heart. But, yeah. So, that is the song. One time, first time, right time hearing it, you will get your shit together. And you'll understand that, you know, you've got, like, somebody that understands your story. kind of telling you their own. Maybe that helps you to kind of feel your motivation all the more purely to do what you need to do. All right. We're still going to go in order. I'll hit you up soon. Bye-bye. Well, friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. Follow us on Pinterest, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, we are up to 45,000 views per month. I have thousands of images and videos of Marvin. Also, check out the YouTube channel, Marvin Gaye's Enduring Gifts. I'm building the Song of the Day playlist there. It's my ultimate goal to become your free online Marvin Gaye listening resource. So, as always, we really appreciate your listening support. Give us subscribes, give us likes, and thank you for listening.